Welcome back. 3:50, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And it's the day after the debate, and it's time to bring on Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer for Foreign Affairs, with the Robbins Report. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. The foreign policy debate, was it what you thought it would be?
Well, hard to say. You know, these debates have all surprised me. I think that the Romney camp decided that all they had to do was run the clock out, look presidential, not try to score too many body blows and get through it, while the Obama team clearly was being much more aggressive and felt that they had to somehow trip Mitt Romney up or make him say something stupid or, you know, otherwise challenge him.
Yeah, now, in your mind, was there a clear-cut winner?
Well, that's a good question. I think that if you base it solely on assertiveness, that Mr. Obama probably came out ahead. But since the race is going to be decided on economic issues, and since Mr. Romney took the opportunity to insert them into the debate, I think that he came out ahead on that and therefore will come out ahead overall.
Yeah. Do we still use horses and bayonets?
You know, it's funny. He was trying to make Mitt Romney sound archaic or something, bringing that up.
Yeah.
But then immediately people pointed to the use of horses in Afghanistan by special operators. And I actually looked it up, Andy, and I am certain that we have more bayonets today in the active inventory than we did 100 years ago when our force was 7 times smaller.
Oh, that's funny. And do we still need a Navy that possesses 300 ships?
Well, I mean, that's what brought this whole thing up, with this sort of mocking statement from the president that we're not playing a game of battleship. But that's how the Navy keeps score. They had envisioned a 313-ship Navy, but because of budget cuts and other priorities in the Obama administration, they've had to cut that back now. So that's what Mitt Romney was talking about. And, you know, the question is, how much is enough? But, you know, we may not want to count ships, but our adversaries do.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Paul Ryan was being interviewed this morning on, I think it was Today Show, and he said, hey, you know, the oceans haven't gotten smaller. We still need a lot of boats.
Yeah, and the Chinese are looking at building aircraft carriers and having fleets for power projection and blue water and stuff like that. So, I mean, if they're building up their fleets while we're building ours down, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the other thing that the president brought up last night was sequestration. And he actually blurted it out. He said it wasn't going to happen. To me, that was a shocker. I mean, I turned my head, looked right at the TV because I had looked away for something. And I'm not kidding you. That really rattled my cage because the campaign had to come out later and walk that back. That was a big mistake on his behalf, I thought.
Oh, yeah, he blew that one. I mean, not only can he not prove that? I mean, that it's not going to happen. It would be great if it didn't.
Yeah.
And but he undercut his own argument, because all along he's been saying that the devastating budget cuts we're facing have been imposed by the Republicans and blah, blah. But now he's saying, okay, they're not even going to happen, so why even be worried?
Yeah. Was the president right in claiming the world is a safer place now than it was when he took office?
Absolutely not. When you look at what's going on in the Middle East, the destabilization there, throughout that whole arc, when you look at newly aggressive Russia and China, when you look at the economic collapse of some states in Europe, just looking around the world, I cannot say that it's safer. It is much more challenging.
Yeah. Is the core of Al-Qaeda decimated? Have you noticed that's the new language he's using? The core of Al-Qaeda?
Well, you know, if for every guy you kill, another guy takes his place. So we plunk one terrorist, and then there's a new leader. What upsets me the most about this is, at the same time he says we're making progress against Al-Qaeda, he's encouraging Islamists in places like Egypt that are pursuing identical strategic goals as Osama bin Laden was. So, you know, he can kill all the terrorists he wants, but the Egyptians are just going to do it, you know, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the embassy attack in Libya, very little focus on that last night. I really thought there'd be a whole lot to it. Was that deliberate, you think, on Romney's behalf? You know, the president had to be geared up, ready to go deep into it, and maybe it threw him a curve by not doing that?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. It was a psychological trick. That is, the president, no doubt, had been, like, briefed for hours and hours on what to say about it and then didn't get a chance to. I also think that it save Mitt Romney from getting into a knife fight over a bunch of details on things where the president could claim, like, well, you know, we have intelligence you don't know about, or otherwise claim the high ground. And it's a battle that Mitt Romney really couldn't win in the way that he wants to be looked at as presidential. So he just let it go, and I think it was very befuddling to the other side.
Yeah. And speaking of Libya, if I understand correctly, last night before the debate, within hours before the debate, new documents were released to lawmakers that had been subpoenaed. The timing just maybe a little suspect in that?
Yes, at 5 p.m. they released subpoenaed documents to the House Intelligence Committee on this, and clearly what they were trying to do was keep this out of the news stream before the debate so that this question wouldn't even come up and they wouldn't even have to deal with it.
Huh. All right, I'll move on to something else. Were you surprised by the number of times Romney said he agreed with Obama policies? The left claims Romney has moved to the center in these last few weeks, almost as if that never happens with politicians. An example I can give you was the timeline, agreeing with the timeline in Afghanistan for the withdrawal.
Well, it's funny that people on the left are criticizing Mitt Romney for agreeing with the president when they're the same people who are saying we need a bipartisan foreign policy. And when you get right down to it, a lot of U.S. foreign policy or national security interests are things that everybody should agree on. And I think that Mitt Romney was saying, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we all want the same thing, a peaceful world, a stable world, and some U.S. policies are geared towards that. But the areas in which he has strong objections, I think that's what people should focus on.
Yeah. The apology tour comment by Romney, did he score with that? And were there other examples of him hitting pay dirt last night?
I think so. Clearly the other team was ready for that. The president had an instant response saying it. He never said, you know, the word apology. But what Mitt Romney was aiming at was the whole tone of the president's first years in particular, when he was going around saying, you know, the U.S. is going to work more by consensus. We're not going to dictate to you that American power is in decline, and maybe that's a good thing, which he said when he visited India in 2009. And then, of course, the bowing, which people didn't mention, which we love to mention.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because yesterday, I think it was Drudge had up on the website for most of the day, like 7 different pictures of Obama bowing to foreign leaders. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
Could you ever see Ronald Reagan doing that?
No,
ever in your life?
No,
never.
Of course not. Of course not. Did you laugh out loud like I did when the candidates start down the foreign policy road and the next thing you know they're talking about hiring more teachers?
Oh, I know, because it's not a foreign policy debate unless you're talking about class sizes, you know.
I mean, it drives you nuts sometimes. It's like, how in the world did they manage to turn that in that direction?
Well, I think it played to Romney's strength. He was the one who, and he got in his 5-point plan, and he talked about the economy. And in a real sense, if we don't have economic strength, we can't have military strength. So the two are tied together. But in fact, what Mitt Romney was trying to get back to was the focus of his campaign, which is jobs.
Yeah. Did last night's debate help or hurt either one?
I don't think it will have any impact whatsoever. I think some people, you know, like what Mr. Obama said, some people like what Mr. Romney said. But again, foreign policy is not the centerpiece of this campaign. The economy and jobs are the centerpiece. So long as Mitt Romney avoided making any fatal mistakes, and I think that he did, and he wasn't tripped up, he wasn't, you know, made a fool of, even though they tried to, that it would just sort of have no impact whatsoever, and probably his momentum will continue.
Yep. All right, Jim, afraid we're out of time for this week. Thank you very much for the complete report on last night's debate, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care. Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer for Foreign Affairs here at the Washington Times.